A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we can now officially start our Sunday class sharing. Yeah? Turn to page 145 first. Yeah? Don't worry, yeah? Leave that one there. Page 145, we will do the sharing on the previous chapter. Huh? The previous chapter is on recycling, which is very good. So this recycling one, you need to develop the understanding. Love the earth, we need to do recycling. So second paragraph, page 145 is, doing recycling work is truly cultivating both blessings and wisdom. So this part of the understanding is very useful. You are not only doing recycling, in fact, you are cultivating both blessings and wisdom. So, all this, when you understand, you become different. So, simple activity like recycling for the benefits of society, humanity, Mother Earth, it can bring forth a lot of benefits and wholesomeness to help us, to help the planet, and to help humanity. People of all ages can do recycling work. When parents are involved in recycling, they can bring their children to work with them. It can even be like a game for the children to play. Bodhisattva play the game in this world unattached and carefree. Through doing recycling work, children can learn to appreciate what they have and not to be wasteful. From a young age, they can learn to create blessing or cultivate blessing and not be greedy. Many seniors also serve as recycling volunteers in their early days. Each time I see their rough hand, I always say, these are the most beautiful and valuable hands. This senior have worked hard all their life. After they got married, they strove to support their families and contribute to society, whether building bridges, paving roads, or working in any trade. They dedicate their life to contribution to society, to contribute to society. Now that they are old and retired, they devote themselves to Tzuji's work and care for the environment by sorting recyclables with their own hands. Yeah. Then now I'm going to read you the last paragraph. People derive a lot of joy from doing recycling work. It also benefits them both physically and mentally. Recycling stations are not only spiritual training grounds where people can purify their minds and cherish their blessing. They also serve as places to educate the community and recruit living bodhisattvas. In fact, recycling volunteers are able to personally practice or cultivate the teaching of thinking good thoughts, doing good deeds, and saying good words every day. They indeed lead a meaningful life. So these are the benefits. So it's just a recap before we move into the next chapter. Now the next chapter is, love is a pure stream that cleans the mind. So we are at page 147. So today we will commence from here. Nowadays, the world is concerned with the need for environmental protection. To mitigate disaster, we must inspire everyone to bring out their love and put it into action. In 1990, I said to the audience during one of my speech, please use the hands you applaud me with to do recycling work. Since then, Tsuji has been promoting environmental protection for more than two decades, which they have started in the year 1990. So now it's the third decade already. Because they cherish the earth and cannot bear to see it harmed. Recycling volunteers devote themselves to collecting and sorting out all the recyclables. They are cleaning the environment while encouraging everyone to appreciate what they have and not to be wasteful. So when you do recycling, you actually reduce pollution. Then you enable our planet to have longer sustainability of life because our planet's resources are limited. So if we don't recycle, we will be draining our planet of a lot of resources. So all this will contribute towards harming the planet, causing environmental pollution, global warming, and a lot of other negative effects. Because they cherish the earth and cannot bear to see it harmed, recycling volunteers devote themselves to collecting and sorting recyclables. They are cleaning the environment while encouraging everyone to appreciate what they have and not to be wasteful. So this one we have done. Since Thai TV, Thai TV was established, it has utilized the latest media technology to spread messages of truth, beauty, and kindness. Its programs are simultaneously broadcast via satellite so that they can be viewed globally. After watching Thai TV program, many viewers in Taiwan as well as overseas have shared that not only were they deeply touched by the true story. Next page. True story of Tsuji volunteer. They also learn life's principle and change their temperament and incorrect view, which make their life more beautiful. And this is very true. When you do all this work, you learn. Then when you learn the correct principle based on Dhamma, it will be very beautiful. It will change you as an individual or as a volunteer. Your temperament and wrong view will be straightened up, and you will have beautiful life. The visible success of Thai TV or Thai Thai is due to the effort of Tsuji's recycling volunteer who work behind the scene. We are grateful for their generosity in donating money from the recyclables to support Thai TV. They are truly turning trash into gold and gold into earth, which in turn become a pure stream that circles the globe to nurture the earth and purify people's mind. So this is very well said, very beautiful. I have often heard that sponsoring the printing of sutras create immense merits because all sutras guide people to be kind and to do good. When everyone does good deeds, society will be peaceful and harmonious. Today, not many people read the sutras. In addition, modern technology is so advanced that the sharing of knowledge is no longer limited by geographical location. So wholesome teaching can be spread more widely. Therefore, we must make good use of the media and technology. We especially hope that the world can see beautiful images of our hard work and humble recycling volunteers so that more people will be inspired. At the same time, we want to share with global viewers our methods and philosophy of recycling. This pure stream of love can travel around the world to purify people's mind. Thus, it brings about more virtue and merits than printing suitable books, and it can reach out to an even wider audience. People must promote the way. It cannot promote itself. Setting our life on the correct path is very important. An adage says, we should seek the company of virtuous people in order to reform ourselves. As humans, we should tread the correct path. Traditional custom and etiquette make life beautiful. They are the proper humanistic culture that we should inherit and pass down. The media can disseminate real life stories of exemplary character, and those stories can serve as guideline for everyone to walk the path correctly. Such is true documentation of culture and history, and the most important goal of the media. Although Taiwan is small, the power of great love can reach far and wide. I hope the effect of this great love, or what they call a star eye, can spread to the whole world. As long as we actively promote this spirit, I believe it will be very impactful or influential. So this topic is very interesting. If we can develop this pure love, it can become a pure stream that cleans our heart and our mind and our nature. So these are the possibilities of applying Dhamma. When you apply Dhamma, there is virtue, there is understanding. Yeah. So when you apply Dhamma, Dhamma transform your mind state, and your mind state will develop all the virtue, especially love and understanding, love and wisdom. With love and wisdom, Shiji volunteers and humanity become beautiful beings. You can become a blessing to all. You can really help the world, help people, help mankind, help the environment, help society in a very big way. So love is to be cultivated, developed through wisdom and understanding. And when there is love, there is Dhamma. You can find out on your own, you can check on your own. Without wisdom, there is no true love. True love is when there is really wisdom. So when there is wisdom, true love can arise. With true love, you become virtuous. You become very kind, very gentle, very wise, with good understanding. Then you can be a blessing to all. And this is how Dhamma functions. So Shiji is making use of Dhamma in their own special way. They through this virtue of love, they transform it into great love, Ta'ai. Ta'ai means really great love, truly to change the world, change ourselves and change others. And we share this love with all of humanity, all of living beings, so that they can be touched by it. And when they are touched, they can feel the love, and they will also change for the better. So this aspect of Ziji's training with love, transforming it to great love, is very meaningful, very beautiful. Yeah? So this topic, maybe we have learned quite a bit. Yeah? So now we can go on to the next topic. Next topic is setting an exemplary model of living, continuing the legacy. The main heading is unifying practices and principles. So unifying practices and principles is very useful. If you understand the Dhamma, which are the principles behind living life, but if you don't know how to apply it into life, means put it into cultivation or practice, then it will not serve the true purpose. So unifying practices and principles are very useful. So the first aspect of unifying practice and principle is setting an exemplary model of living, continuing the legacy of the master or of Sakyamuni Buddha. So now we turn to page 152. We will continue from there. Setting an exemplary model of living, continuing the legacy. As Bodhisattva's practitioner, where can we learn the Dhamma? So this is a very good question. Where can we learn the Dhamma? In Suci, we often remind each other, apply the Buddha Dhamma in daily life and serve as living bodhisattvas in this world. So this is very meaningful, very beautiful. Not only can we learn the Buddha Dhamma as Suci volunteer, we are also diligently walking the bodhisattva path as we interact with people, thus integrating and applying the teaching to everything we do. So this is similar as what we intend to introduce as a new topic, Dhamma in daily life. So this Dhamma in daily life is the same, how you apply Dhamma in daily life. If you know how to do it, then Dhamma become a living Dhamma. It's not just knowledge or academic. So academic Dhamma or knowledge-based Dhamma will lead to what they call stereotype, rigidity. It will not help you because it can't transform you. Or they call it the scholarly type. If you learn Dhamma for knowledge, it becomes scholarly, knowledge-based, thought-based. But if you cultivate Dhamma, it becomes different. It becomes a living reality. It becomes a part of you. So Dhamma is to be cultivated, not study as a knowledge or like a scholarly course that you do in the university. So even undergraduates who do their courses in the university, they also have to go through practical training. And when they graduate, they have to go into the career life to experience what that profession or career is. That is where they really learn the real training. Without going into life, without going into society, into the training within life itself, you can't learn, you cannot develop progress and understanding. That's the reason why I always share with you, life itself is our greatest teacher. We can learn a lot of things in life. Life itself is where the Dhamma is. Without life, there is no Dhamma. Without life, there is nothing. So everything can be learned from life. So we will read on so that you can develop more understanding. We can find the Buddha Dhamma in our daily life and in every person. This is very true. Huh? If we pay close attention, we can constantly learn lessons that will improve our life and relationship, also understanding. Yeah? But you need to be mindful, heedful, and observant. Yeah? That part we have to add it in. Yeah? And to be mindful, observant, we need to silence our mind more and more. We need to develop the stability of mindfulness or awareness within our nature. As we meet people who have grown up in different environments, we should realize that each of their life story is like a sutta to be read. Regardless of their background, whether they are wealthy or poor, have a high social status or standing or not. The moving story of Tsuji volunteers helping others out of love are all worthy of being documented as part of a lasting legacy. Their story will inspire others to enrich their own life. This is very true. Huh? How many of you have watched the Tsuji Tai Tai TV station? If you happen to have your TV channel set up, and you happen to have the chance to watch him, he's very beautiful, very meaningful. You can learn a lot of things from their real life story. Tsuji's footprint can be seen all over the world. With the heart of a bodhisattva who vows to help others who are suffering, upon hearing their cries, Tsuji volunteers around the world will always go to those in need. In all parts of the world, they help and care for those who suffer. As they witness others suffering, they recognize their own blessing. These experiences allow them to further understand the wondrous Dhamma. So these are very beautiful sharings. Committed Tsuji volunteers practice the teaching with the spirit of cultivating a Buddha's mind and shouldering my mission. They cultivate sincerity, integrity, faith, and steadfastness within, and they act towards others with loving kindness, compassion, joy, and selfless giving. Not only do they influence others to do good, they also continuously improve themselves through spiritual cultivations. In this way, they become role models for others, and their story of loving kindness are documented as part of Tsuji's legacy. We see that by applying the Dhamma in their daily life, they treat all living beings with great compassion and benefits others with their every action. In this way, their experiential understanding helps develop their wisdom, as the Sutta of Infinite Meaning states. So this sutta is called Wu Liang Yi Jing in English, and it's a very beautiful sutta. After this book, we will go into the sharing of that book, Wu Liang Yi Jing, Sutra of Infinite Meaning. This sutta states, infinite Dhamma Dao will readily appear before us. Right? Finish. So fast. Yeah. I just counter check. Yeah, correct. This is very short. Okay. Then we move on to the Ciji spirit of humanistic culture. The next chapter. Okay. So this chapter is on humanistic culture. Humanistic culture, the Mandarin word is Zenwen, literally means the culture of respecting humanity. By applying the spirit of humanistic culture, we are also engaging in spiritual practice while living our daily life. Humanistic culture is not a new concept. Ancient sages define humanistic culture as a human activities described in the Book of Song, Book of History, Book of Ceremonies, and Book of Music. It is also discussed in the I Ching, which says, the head of a country must observe natural phenomena to understand the changes of season. And he should observe humanistic culture to educate people so as to transform the world. Furthermore, the Analects of Confucian say, in practicing propriety and courtesy, it is most important to cherish harmony. Now, this is very true. You must cherish harmony, otherwise you can't. In the way prescribed by the ancient king, this is the most wonderful. To exhibit the beauty of humanistic culture, propriety is the key. It is a traditional Chinese virtue. When people treat one another courteously, there will be harmony in any or all situations. At all times. So this virtue, courtesy, is very useful. When you are courteous, there is no conflict. And because there is no conflict, there is harmony. Religion provides a purpose in life and guidelines for living. The aim of any true faith is to educate people and make life more meaningful. To me, a beautiful life is just a simple life. Yeah. They should add in, it's just a simple life when you understand. People often tell me, Ciji volunteers are full of grace. Whether the volunteers are doing international relief operation or community service, a sense of peacefulness and friendliness can be felt in their presence. There is an example of humanistic culture. So to be human, we must have all this humanistic culture and virtue. Besides offering friendship and peace, Ciji volunteers practice propriety. Whether they are walking, standing, sitting, or lying down, these are the four postures. They show propriety and set an example for others. They must follow the proper etiquette, whether as parent or as children. Ciji volunteer abide by the Ciji 10 precepts in daily living. By doing so, they demonstrate Ciji's humanistic culture. That's why they are being guided by the Ciji's 10 precepts. Nowadays, propriety and sense of humility are forsaken in the pursuit of personal freedom and licentiousness, or what they call materialistic wealth. People embrace greed and forget about moral ethics. The fight for fame and fortune is insistent. Life is never enough and is a trouble. Instead, tiredness has become the norm. Some people think they can do whatever they want if it makes them happy. However, Ciji volunteers know that they should refrain or absolutely refrain from doing anything that is improper. Same as the advice of the Buddha, avoid all evil. They know very well that if they simply did as they please, they would become deluded and lost their direction. So they abide by the rules. As part of Tzu-ji's mission of humanistic culture, we document the stories of exemplary individuals and preserve them as part of our history. We are involved in a worldly affair while retaining the spirit of the Buddha's teaching, and we should not deviate from our life's path. To stay on track, we must utilize our inner potential to its fullest, for that is the essence of life. We should use our energy to do the right thing and to benefit others. We can thus refine our character when we are able to benefit ourselves and others and live out the true value of life. We nurture our wisdom, live at the same time, sorry, we nurture our wisdom life at the same time. If our character reaches a perfect state, we can inspire others. Those who inspire others are role models, and their stories should be recorded. This is the spirit of Tzu-ji's humanistic culture. So if you can inspire others to do good, to do wholesomeness, this is really wholesome. Tzu-ji volunteers strive to understand, to realize our Buddha nature or our inner three threshold. I believe in talk the walk and walk the talk. It should be walk the talk. Meaning I say what I do and I do what I say. This is modern Buddha Dhamma. When we do good deeds, running into challenges is unavoidable. Whenever I tell our volunteers we have worked hard, they always reply, we are blessed. They are able to see hard work as a blessing because they have very few desires and they are always contented. The more we do, the happier we are because we can contribute with joy and have enough courage and stamina to overcome all these difficulties. At Tzu-ji, we are all fortunate to walk the Bodhisattva path in one heart. So this one is very important. Walking the path of the Bodhisattva with one heart is no more turning back, no more doubt, just moving forward. Where we are united, we are able to bring forth tremendous power. Spiritual cultivation requires that we cultivate blessings and wisdom in parallel. So this is very true. That's why you need to cultivate the twin perfection, the bipeds, means not only virtue, blessings or merits, but you need to cultivate wisdom too. So virtue or blessing and wisdom must be developed in parallel. We attain blessing and virtue only when we overcome dispute with wisdom. So like the saying goes, like I always share, without wisdom, there is no real virtue. Without real wisdom, you cannot develop virtue. So the ultimate realization of cultivation is when you come to understand that you have become more and more virtuous, it means you are on the right path. You have cultivated correctly. So this aspect is very important. We attain blessing and virtue only when we overcome dispute with wisdom. So without virtue and wisdom, you cannot live life. You don't know how to live life. That's why you cannot resolve things amicably. You cannot develop understanding to help you understand life and resolve all issues amicably. None of the four Shiji missions can be separated from humanistic culture. As part of the charity mission in the early days during Shiji's bamboo bank era, Shiji's monthly they used the bamboo container to actually help to save money in small amount. But if many people do it, it can grow. So I read this part again. As part of the charity mission in the early days during Shiji's bamboo bank era, Shiji monthly published every donation in detail. The name of donor, the amount donated, and the commissioner who had collected it. Thus, to show our integrity, we do not accept any anonymous donation. We want to show that every donation went into the charity fund. It allows others to have faith in us as they see that we indeed work with sincerity, integrity, we are trustworthiness and honesty. This is the origin of Shiji's humanistic culture. And after charity is their medical mission, focus on saving life and safeguarding health with love. Our medical teams reach out to patients and form close relationship with them. Our volunteers stay by the patient's side to help alleviate their physical suffering, their physical pain and mental suffering. All of this action shows the humanistic culture of the many medical mission. To carry out our education mission, the third pillar, we provide complete education from kindergarten to college. We help rebuild schools after Taiwan's 921 earthquake in 1999 through Project Hope. Even having completed so many rebuilding projects, our most important contribution is still the volunteer's love. For example, the teacher in the Shiji Teachers Association around the world share the same goal of spreading Shiji's love through humanistic education. They teach students with a bodhisattva heart. Naturally, the mission of humanistic culture focuses on promoting respect for humanity. The mission also includes documenting and broadcasting true story of exemplary Tzuchi volunteer to bear witness to compassion and enrich Tzuchi Sutra treasury. Let me have a drink first. It is a rare opportunity to be born in the human realm. So this one we have gone through. Therefore, we must live out our full potential and be a model for others. We can do this, then everything we do will be part of the Tzuchi's legacy. This is also the goal and direction of Tzuchi's humanistic culture. So they have a very good humanistic culture tied to the four pillars of supporting humanity. So we have covered three chapters. What's the time now? Oh, 3:47. Okay, maybe we can stop for meditation. Then after that, we can have our second session. Okay, we start at page 160. And maybe before we go for meditation, maybe I will allow you to have some time for question if you have. Is there any question that you would like to ask to expand on what we have learned or shared? Anybody? You can just come in, Anybody? You can ask whatever question that is relevant or related. Don't have. Okay, never mind. Don't have, then we can have our meditation first. We will have 45 minutes of silent inner awareness meditation. Cannot. Jinhao is trying to. I think it's written on the board. Maximize zoom window. Yeah. So Jinhao is learning to use this Zoom video. We asked today my daughter and some of these youth member among their group, they are at a retreat, self-retreat. It's only a 3-day, a 4-day tonight, self-retreat. Okay, we'll off the light, so that you can have your 45 minutes of silent awareness-based meditation. Okay, so as usual, relax, maintain awareness, and let your mind settle down. Then the original state of mind will revert, will come back to you. You will realize your true mind. Okay, I will set the alarm now. So always remember, relax body and mind entirely, be at ease, free your mind. Then after that, maintain awareness. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Whatever that arises, let it be. Then just maintain awareness. Aware, silent. Aware, silent. Just like mind sweeping method. Aware, silent. So feel, relax, feel, relax, aware, silent. This will help you decondition your heedless thinking or your mundane thinking. Then when you are able to maintain awareness, you will start to experience more and more peace, more and more quietness. Then the shift of consciousness will come. You will experience the silent mind, the self, the awareness nature within, which is just aware. Then that tranquil state, peaceful state, or silent inner awareness, they will appear. And you will realize it. Then you will be able to be with it. So stay with it for as long as you can. Maintain the awareness. Then use that awareness to meditate, to develop understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being.
Sharing.
Not in daily life. Have you tried it before? Or anything that you want to maybe share on?
Maybe I talk about today's meditation.
Ah, very good. Okay, that one is better. Yes.
Okay, today, in the morning, because in the morning I joined the retreat in the morning.
Oh, the youth one. Huh?
Yeah, the table
the
morning.
The Zoom with the monk one.
Yeah. So I noticed that in the morning was a lot of thoughts, and then
loud and clear.
Having a lot of thoughts, you know. So I was like, then I was trying to aware, but it's not aware. Actually, it's just following the thoughts, you know, go round and round and that. I noticed that way. Then after that, we have a second sitting in the morning. During the second sitting, in the middle of the sitting, suddenly I noticed that, the awareness is when it's aware, it will just stop there. You know? It won't proliferate more and more. It just stop and then it will silence.
Completely silent. But the moment you want to know, it's gone already. You listen. The first sharing that you share just now, the initial one, the first sitting, you say you are not really aware. It's like there is a thought following the thought. Understand? That is still thought-based thinking. The thought is still actively trying to know. Trying to know means the thought trying to know whether it's aware or not. Or the thought is trying to be aware. So forget about that one. Don't do that anymore. Just relax, maintain awareness. So find out. If you are really relaxed and maintain awareness, what happened? Because you will experience that shift of consciousness. Like your second sitting, you realize there are certain moments where it's completely silent. But the moment you want to know or get excited about it, it's gone. Awareness is like that. So when awareness arises, don't get excited. Just recognize it, understand it, then continue to relax. Maintain that awareness. Maintain awareness means just silence yourself away. Don't try to know. But because you have the senses, there will be contact. So immediately upon contact, away, finish. No need to continue with the hearing or emotion or movement or stirring of the mind or reaction of mind. Forget about it. But if you do that, the mundane mind arise, the thinking arise, because from perception it starts to think, it starts to create sankara activity. Perception will trigger memory, because without memory there is no perception. Then memory has its views, opinion, and conditioning. That's how it will condition you to think, condition you to react. But all these are very fast movement, and they are very subtle. Without mindfulness, you cannot see, you cannot understand. That's why the mundane mind keep on arising. And most human beings are heedless. They think a lot. Their thought activity are non-stop. Thought proliferation, we call it. So that one is heedless arising of thought or heedless thinking, reaction, emotion. So all this is what the mundane mind is all about. Without wisdom, without the spiritual faculty, without understanding, it continues to behave that way, the heedless way. So meditation is to see all this, understand all this, and ask ourselves, why are we not peaceful, not able to go into the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness? Most people didn't understand that it is because they lack the five spiritual faculties. That's why the five mental hindrances arise. So when the mental hindrances are there, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So that is what is happening. So because they lack that understanding, they don't know what to do, they try very hard to meditate. So who is trying? The thought is trying. And when the thought do that, it becomes active. That's why it becomes thought-based meditation. Then the thought that is trying becomes the meditator. Then they will, through memory or conditioning or thinking, recall what instruction they have received. If they were told to note, they were note. If they were told to focus, they were focused. Then sometimes they were told to do gullible things, ridiculous things, because they cannot do away the heedless thinking. They will teach you how to not thinking. Or when you become emotional, angry, is anger. Thinking that by repeating all this, it will disappear. It is not that way. Meditation is not like that. You have to understand why are that heedless thinking there? Because you lack the spiritual faculties. The mental hindrances are active. The mental hindrances come from your daily life. When you do not have a stable religious routine to maintain your state of mindfulness or awareness throughout the day, then you will become heedless. Because at every moment of sense experience without mindfulness, awareness, and the initial wisdom, your mind will stir and react. You will react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So when this one happens so often, this is what the Buddha called the first two mental hindrances of sensual desire and ill will, your like and your dislike, your pleasant and your unpleasant sense experience. So if throughout the day you keep on arising these mental hindrances, it will hinder your mind or entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's the reason why you cannot meditate. You cannot be in the meditative state. So what must you do? Because this one becomes habitual tendency after a while. So when it's habitual tendency, every time you sit down, you want to quiet yourself and meditate, you can't. So that is what is happening within the Buddhist community as so-called meditator. And when they don't understand, they need something to stop all this heedless thinking. That's why they come out with methods and techniques, object of meditation, to fix the mind, to control the thought, to go into one-pointedness. Otherwise, this habitual tendency or the heedless thinking continue. Then the mind wanders off very fast. That's why anapanasati is to bring the mind back to develop mindfulness, awareness. So all of these skillful means All method techniques and object meditation are just skillful means to anchor the mind, to train the mind, to develop mindfulness in between. But they don't understand. They thought the method and technique and the object of meditation is the meditation. They thought they must always know and focus and do something. When they do that, they think they are meditating. No. The opposite is true. When they do that, they are creating more thought. They cannot meditate where they are not in the state of awareness, mindfulness, or heedfulness. They are actively creating thought. So this understanding is very important. If you understand this, what must you do? You must train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty to overcome the mental hindrance. Then very easy to meditate. So the daily religious routine to stabilize your daily mindfulness in the midst of life is very important. If you live life in an orderly manner, means you are not in the state of disorder when you live life, means you are not heedless. So order is the word used by Jay Krishnamurti. The Buddha used the word heedfulness. If you are not heedful in the midst of life, you become heedless. And the heedless are as if they finish. You don't stand a chance to develop the spiritual awakening, the spiritual understanding, and the spiritual life. But if you train your mind to be aware, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to live life, use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you become heedful in the midst of life. And heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So after understanding all this, meditation becomes very easy. Either I develop the spiritual faculty, stabilize my daily mindfulness through a good religious routine, means throughout the day I do my puja, I do my meditation, then in between I develop daily mindfulness. Then my mind is always aware, heedful in the midst of life. Then there is no disorder. Then the spiritual faculties are always there. Then any time I want to sit, I become very peaceful and very calm, very fast. Because you already with the spiritual faculty, your sati is already very stable. You only need to relax and maintain awareness, you straightway go in. That's why meditation becomes very easy. Otherwise, you will struggle to become peaceful. So the technique that I teach you is the best. In fact, it comes from understanding to Huineng's teaching. Huineng say the first hallmark of meditation is to realize no thought. To bring you direct to the state of no thought. No thought means what? No thought means the mundane mind is not active, silent. Then when that happens, your awareness shines forth. You realize the true mind, which is your silent mind, your meditative mind. And that is the mind that can meditate. That's why you must go there. So how to go there? Relax, maintain awareness, don't do anything. When thought is not active, it will slow down and finally it will cease. And when it ceases, you will realize it. Because as you silent and maintain awareness, there is a shift of consciousness. It's like suddenly your sankhara activity or your thought process, your thinking, like slow down. Well, you don't feed it with any more thought energy. There is a short note that I think Man Yuan did. I just completed it. I will share it afterwards. Maybe that one will help you to develop the understanding. Just give me a minute. I try to share it. The Path to Truth for Modern Day Bodhisattva Practitioner by Master Shi Chenyan, Chen Yan Pasi. We were going through the topic coexist with Earth and cherishing everything, appreciate our blessings. So we were at page 127 to 132. So this one is dated 16 August 2020, yeah? The previous Sunday class. Number one, learn to see things as they are. Accept all realities as condition arising within the moment and be at peace with all things. The world is the world and people are just the way they are. With wisdom and understanding, our mind can always be at peace with all situations. That's why this ability to see things as they are means just let things be and accept all realities, yeah, as condition arising within the moment. Then be at peace with all things means silence your mind, maintain awareness. No need to stir your mind or react. Develop the ability to be at peace is silent away. Then you will understand. Then when you have the clarity of mind, when you are at peace, you do not stir your mind, you do not react. That's how you act. You act with clarity, with mindfulness, with awareness. Then you inquire, what happened? How can I resolve all this amicably? So that I can move, so that I do not perceive anything with negativity and call it a problem or something that I don't like, that I don't accept, and I want things my way, which is not nature's way. Then number two is also very useful. We need a very stable daily mindfulness to observe with the silent mind how we are conditioned into our like and dislike. And this is meditation. Our fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, craving and grasping, etc. during every moment of our sense experience or living life. So this is in the midst of life, you must have mindfulness to see all this. Our reaction to sense experience is due to our mind self-delusion. That trigger of the stirring of the mind. We react and stir our mind because of our wrong view, born of self-delusion, sakyality. Then number three is the part that I want Tammy to understand. We must train our mundane mind to be mindful so that we can understand how our former mind is being deceived by the phenomenal world of consciousness into lack of peace. We must see clearly how all this arising due to our wrong view. Ask ourselves, it is a wrong thought that torments you and does not lead to wholesomeness and sublime and the sublime mind state of inner peace, tranquility and equanimity, then why arise them? Wake up. Do not be deceived by the phenomenal world of consciousness anymore. Straighten your view to be at peace. The next time you confront all such situations. Then point number four, Lord Buddha's fire sermon is related to the 18th sense rhyme cultivation. It can awaken us if we can develop the understanding of it. To have such understanding, we need a very stable daily mindfulness to see all our mundane mind's movement. There's a reason why you need the daily mindfulness, the stability of it. Number five, when deluded, we will be entangled in life situation. We will not recognize suffering. We will only blame others, sometimes even ourselves, because we cannot understand what happened. For things are just the way they are. Life situation arise due to condition. They are dependent originating. Investigate and ask, is this the reality? If what is the reality, then it cannot be otherwise, as stated clearly by the Buddha. The Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So don't argue with the reality of the present moment. this condition is already set. Things is just the way it is. It has to be this way, no other way. Then whatever happened, do not perceive it with negativity of mind state. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you will suffer. And number seven is very good. Heedfulness has two components, ever mindful, constantly meditative, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, including the Four Right Effort cultivation. Only with mindfulness can we understand the true teaching, because without mindfulness, we are not sensitive enough, and we cannot see our subtle defilement and suffering, our subtle greed, our subtle fear, unhappiness, unease, dislike, selfishness, emotion, agitation, and lack of peace, etc. When heedless, we cannot even recognize our gross defilement, like anger and other defilements. We continue to blame others. Example, why are these people so bad? Why is God so unfair? It's because we are so deluded. We cannot understand the truth. That's how we become heedless. And we always point our fingers at others for all our troubles and chaos. This is how ignorant condition the three evil roots to arise within us. Then number eight is very useful. A cultivator will silence his mind and investigate the Dhamma. Start with a clean slate. By assuming you don't know anything, investigate the Dhamma and find out. Do not believe what you hear or read. Always put it to test. So how to investigate? You have to silence your mind with awareness. Be aware. Do not add in anything. Do not bring in your memory to actually cloud your direct seeing or experience. Because when you see something or perceive something through your senses, if your memory come in, it will distort it. Well, your memory is full of views, opinion, and conditioning. And that one don't have wisdom, don't have understanding, it cannot understand. Then number nine is very important. At every moment of sense experience, while seeing, hearing, smelling, or tasting and feeling, find out what happened with your silent mind to understand how you function as a human being, how you stir your mind and become unhappy and miserable. Your lack of peace is due to your own ignorance or wrong view. Life need not be this way. This is how you learn. Then one must be mindful to be sensitive. Then tell yourself, originally there was nothing, no negativity or mind state, only the pure seeing consciousness or pure awareness. Before you input the content of consciousness from your brain's conditioning, for the enlightened, their brain's memory is full of psychological garbage, which are their views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, tradition, fear, phobia, and insecurities, etc. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. That is how their minds stir and react to sense experience, following their memories, their views, their opinion and conditioning, etc. So in meditation, we must see all this clearly with our silent mind in pure awareness. For things are just the way they are, the reality is. And according to the Buddha, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So all our views and opinion, etc. are irrelevant. Learn to see things as they are before the egoic mind comes in to interfere with our pure observation or seeing. Basically, there is no observer and the observed because they are the same entity. There is the observer is the observed. then seeing become objective seeing, no more subjective seeing, means I see, means no more the I and the me, because there is no one to see. When consciousness arises, we must be completely silent, aware, to develop the understanding of all the above. Constantly via heedfulness, cultivate the forer effort to purify our thoughts and to straighten our views. Then point number 13, to overcome wrong thought. Just relax and maintain awareness. Do not do anything. Now this part, Tammy, is what I tried to explain to you just now. Do not feed mental energy to the thought. Negative thought will cease to be as we allow the negative emotion, which can be either anger, fear, worry, or anxiety, etc., to be as it is, means let things be. Because the very flowering of that thought or that emotion is the very ending of that thought and emotion. True mind before the stirring will then return. Then you will understand clearly that all these emotions, like your fear, your anger, etc., are not you, because they are all dependent originating. They are not intrinsic within your true nature. Before your mind stir and become emotional, you will appease it. That's why your true mind, original mind, is without thought. So how can there be fear, there be emotion, worry and anxiety? All these are the movement of your mundane mind conditioned by your wrong view. So this understanding is meditation. So when you meditate, you just relax, maintain awareness, don't try to do anything. Then let the mind settle down and realize that true mind, that is the beginning of true meditation. When you can realize that, the real meditation begins. Because that is the mind that you need. Your true mind. You start with the mind that is without thought. So the first hallmark is no thought. To realize no thought, you must silence completely until there is no more sankhara activity, no more aggregate of mind, no more thinking. It's just pure awareness in complete tranquility and stillness. Aware. That nature aware is without the world, without anything. It's the unconditioned. It's just that nature within. The awareness nature within. Realize that. Stabilize that. Then you will progress. Then number 14. When condition is like that, things will be like that. Understanding this is wisdom. We become peaceful if we can accept the reality of the moment and do not want things our way. Our mind is always free. After that, only we act with wisdom and understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path. That's how you live life. That's how you act. When we lack spiritual faculty, mental hindrance will be there to hinder the mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. How do we reverse this? Cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty, or alternatively, do the mind sweeping method combined with metta. Just feel, relax, no more thinking, to decondition the heedless thinking. When we think we exist, the problem starts. Self-delusion or sakkayaditti has arisen. Then the egoic mind or personality will arise. With that, we will think we exist. There is a personality, an ego, a person, an entity. Then we believe we are real. We are the emotion that has arisen. The greed, the anger, the hatred, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, etc. that has arisen. We also want to own things, possess things, and control, etc. All these are craving, born of wrong view. That's why self-delusion is very powerful. The atta is the egoic mind. And the egoic mind will have a lot of craving. And craving is a will. There is a will to do things. like and dislike, to own things, to possess things, to control things. When things don't go your way, become emotional, unhappy, violent, angry, then you develop jealousy, and stupidity, and all those things. Number 17. To change for the better, we can introduce new conditions to resolve whatever life situation that has arisen. We can also act according to wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path to resolve all issues amicably. So to change for the better, when I say we can introduce new conditions to resolve whatever life situation that has arisen, it means the action that you must take means you act with wisdom and understanding. That's why you follow Noble Eightfold Path. Means act with wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. But before that, before the wisdom arises, to change for the better, you have to follow the advice of the Buddha. Understand? That's why you determine not to repeat all these heedless doing. Then you determine to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind to develop the right view and the right understanding and the wisdom and the merits. So when you do that, you become wise. You become beautiful. Then number 18 is the most important. It summarizes all the understanding that you need. Only mighty nature rolling by, there is no reality. We are just an ordinary form of mind, karmically conditioned out by our karmic nature to arise in this existential world. Our form of mind is subject to karma and is not a permanent unchanging entity, hence anatta nature of our form of mind. The truth is, there is no one born, no one die, no one sick, and no one old, etc. You come empty, you go empty. Then in between, while living life, why do you grieve over emptiness? So this is very beautiful, and you can understand this easily because life is just an understanding. When you understand, you become beautiful, you free your mind. Because if you look back at life, the moment we are born into this world, do we bring along anything? You didn't bring along anything. That's why you come empty. Then when you leave this world, can you bring along anything? You can't either. Maybe your own body, form and mind also, you can't bring along. Only the consciousness separate. Then they say you die. Your entity erased. Then what happened? They cremate your form and mind, then it becomes dust or ashes. Then sometimes they didn't even take the trouble to collect the ashes. They just let the crematorium dispose it off. Then some who wants to remember you, maybe they take your ashes and put it in an urn. Then maybe they go and buy a space and pay a lot for it. But it's for them to have the condition to recall to mind what you have done to them. Maybe they are your children or your loved ones. So this is what is happening to the world. So without wisdom, you end up this way. But for the cultivator, they know if you can develop the condition to understand what happened is if they really have the parami, the wisdom and the understanding, like the Buddha, the enlightened beings, their ashes have crystal and they can actually bring forth good energy, pure energy. So if you have the condition to collect them, to receive them, then you can actually donate them or keep it in a place where it can bring forth the good vibration of pure energy. Because this relics has this type of vibration where it's with their form and mind for very long. And this form and mind that existed has the wisdom the vibration and the parami within. So all this good energy, they actually transform your bones, your whatever solid part within your physical into relics. Yeah. Then they are like good vibration, yeah, trapped inside. Mm. But you need the appropriate temperature. That's why when you do the cremation, it cannot be too hot or not enough heat. It must be just nice. So all this is just for understanding. Okay, we go back to Tammy. So hopefully, yeah, with this explanation, Tammy, you can learn something. Yeah. Yeah.
Sadhu.
Yeah, we must all rejoice. Huh? Sadhu. Then please remind me, yeah, before we end today, Man Yuan just sent me a message. It's not so good the news. He said the mother had a fell down. I think injured the head and the spinal cord. I think the backbone broke. So he requested me to share marriage, transfer marriage, and give some invoke power of marriage for blessing for the mom to recover the good health as soon as possible. Mm. I told her, don't worry, we will do that. Okay, yeah. So, your sharing, did you finish, Tammy? Is there anything else? Oh, no. So then you have the privilege now to nominate whoever you want to nominate to be the next one to share. Huh? Oh, Man Yuan is here already. You want to nominate Man Yuan? Or anybody that you can see? Yeah. Who? You want to nominate who?
Sister Man Yuan, please.
Ah, Sister Man Yuan. Man Yuan, you are called. Tammy nominated you. Yeah, Man Yuan. Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
No problem. Yeah.
I just want to share what happened mother.
Yes.
Yeah. My mother, a few days ago, was walking out from the house and the neighbor passed by with the dog.
Oh.
So the dog, yeah, the dog was very strong.
Oh.
And I think it broke out from the grip of the owner. And the owner fell to the ground.
Oh,
so my mother at that time, she was going out from the front gate.
Yeah.
And when she saw the neighbor fell down, she wanted to help the neighbor to get up.
Yeah.
Now the dog was free from the grip, right?
Yeah.
The actually it's not a fierce dog, but it's very playful and very strong.
Oh.
So it came to my mother and started pouncing on her.
Oh.
And yeah. So my mother, because she lost her balance, she fell and she hit her head at the back here against the stone seat outside the house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when it happened, I was also outside, but then inside the gate. Oh. So I rushed out. And as I rushed out, my mother was already lying on the floor. And I tried to help her out, because she was saying there was a lot of blood coming out from the head already. And she said that... we couldn't get up because it's painful.
Yeah.
But I was surprised because the neighbor, when she got out, she just pulled the dog away and then she walked off, you know. Yeah, she walked off. And my mother was still lying on the ground.
Oh.
And I couldn't pull her up because she's kind of heavy also.
Yeah,
and my brother, because he hurt and he came running down.
Yeah,
and after a while, we were able to take my mother. She was able to stand up.
Oh.
And we went back into the house.
Oh.
And then we were thinking we should go to the hospital and not a clinic because of age. Yeah.
Yes, better to get the hospital to check. Yes.
Mm.
Because you are entitled. You are a government servant. You can go.
My mother is also a government servant.
Oh, no. Under you can get first class treatment. You entitled to division one officer. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, your bank negara got special clinic or bank negara special panel or specialist center?
That one is only for staff. If it's for parents, it has to go to a government hospital.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So my parents never use my benefit lah. They use their own. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So finally, did you decide to send her?
We sent her to the UC hospital.
Ah, good enough. UC
but
hospital.
What I wanted to share with you is when I was there, the doctor x-rayed my mother both places at the head where she fell.
Yeah.
And also the back because she complained that it was very painful.
Yes.
The whole back, in fact.
Yeah.
So the result came out, the head was okay, but she had to go through a few stitches, 5 stitches.
Oh, that one.
But it was okay lah. There's no fracture.
Oh, yeah. There's no severe fracture or injury.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But the backbone part of it was fracture. So I call home and I told my father. No, actually my father called me asking how my mother is.
Yeah.
So when I told him, he got very emotional.
Oh, definitely.
He went to the next door. He told me when I came home. Before that, he didn't tell me.
Go to the neighbor.
He went to the neighbor. He started banging on the door. And then he told me, very angry, he never come out, you know. When I heard also, I got angry because before that, I wasn't angry yet.
Yeah,
I was thinking, it's okay. Yeah. What I can do is just tell my neighbor what happened to my mother.
Then
if they want to do something, it's up to them. It's up to them. Their decision.
Yeah.
After what my father told me, I kind of raised my emotion as well.
You also affected.
Because my father said, when he banged on the door, they didn't come out. So he waited outside. Then at one point in time, the neighbor have to go out. So she came out and she backed the car out of the porch. My father stood up and stood right in front of the car. Very dangerous.
Wow.
So very dramatic about it.
Wow.
So she has to stop the car.
Yeah.
And my brother went over to a driver's seat. And my father told me, she didn't even wind down the window.
Ayo.
So he started telling her what happened to my mother. And then I think he scolded her also.
Oh, okay.
And then he told me, you know what that lady said to me? He said, you go and tell that to my sister because my neighbor is 2 sisters.
Oh, okay.
And then she just went off. So when I came back at night, when he told me that, my mindset changed. Before that, I was thinking, it's okay. I will just tell her what happened and then I will let it be that whatever she wants to she do. Now, my father said, go and do a police report. So I thought there is enough justification to do a police report because of the behavior.
It's a family decision, no problem. Because if the family is decided with a consensus, you have the right because this will help to improve situations. In future, people dare not act heedlessly or recklessly. Because dogs sometimes can create problems. Because this dog is also related to karma, but sometimes you don't know. I have seen before. The dog, just very nice dog, and I don't have history or what. Suddenly, when he sees certain people, he just attack the guy. Like nobody's business until that guy completely whack. So a lot of incidents happen before, and sometimes the Buddhists will react and come out with all sorts of things. But as Buddhists, if we understand, we should try to resolve things amicably. But don't worry, this doesn't mean you have to act this way. Your parent has the right to act the way they want to, because this is your family matter, so you cannot interfere. So if they want to report, if there is a consensus, you just let them do what they want. Then let things unfold. Well, sometimes it can lead to good and wholesomeness, we never know. So as a Buddhist, we can have an understanding. We will resolve it amicably. But sometimes because of karmic You want to make police report. Actually, is that right? And there are reasons for it. Maybe that particular person, your neighbor who did all this, need to be taught a lesson and all those things. So this one for, just let it be, don't worry. Adu, thank you for sharing all this with us. At least we learned something. So finally,
you got some more.
Okay, continue.
Yeah, so I went to the police station the following day. When I reached the police station, they said the system was down, so I cannot make a report. So I asked them, what is the action for such incident? And they told me that not much that the police can do. They can just advise the neighbor, and then they will forward the case to Jabatan Haiwan. So Jabatan Haiwan may come to take the dog away.
Correct, yes.
I don't know, maybe put them to sleep and give a fine to the neighbor. So when I heard that, I didn't want them to put the dog to sleep because the dog was just being playful. It wasn't a bad dog. It wasn't like attacking. It was like playful, pouncing on my mother. So then after that, because I can't do a report, I went to the hospital and I told my mother that father wanted to do a police report. And she said, no, I do not want a police report. She had
to at least your mother make that decision. Okay. So finally, huh?
Yeah. So no police report made. But then when I told my elder brother, the one that is staying away from us,
Yeah.
He said that something like I'm being irresponsible because the dog may do the same thing to other people. It can be to my father also next time.
Yeah.
So if anything happened, then I'll be responsible because I didn't do a police report now.
The human mind will project the thought and say all these things. But if you have the Buddhist understanding, you will let nature take its course. Just condition like that, things be like that. But whatever precaution you take, or let's say decision that your family make, better to have consensus. But the strong point is you can tell your elder brother, it's not me. Actually, you went to the police station. But because condition is such, the system was down, the economic report, then you go back and tell your mother, and your mother make the decision. You tell him that. Ask him to
talk
to mother. He said, if you want, you better talk to mom. And then you become the good angel. You don't have to feel guilty from what your elder brother said. Your elder brother is the one in Singapore, huh? Is it?
Oh no, that is my younger one. One actually is also back here. The older one is just in PJ also lah.
Oh, PJ also.
Yeah.
So your three brothers is back lah.
Everyone was back here.
Oh, your parents feel happy. Sadhu.
Then my father say, okay, you don't want to make police report. If the neighbor talk to you, you don't talk to them. Maybe you just say that. You just say that if they talk to you, you just say that you're heartless people, and heaven will punish you for everything you do. But then I was thinking, I really wanted to talk to the neighbor and tell them what happened to my mother. So because I want them to know now they can half guess what happened and not right.
So that they can take precaution.
Yeah. So I actually walk to the neighbor, and when she saw me coming, she actually opened the gate and let me in and all. And the first thing she said was, I'm so sorry. She really said that, I'm so sorry. And they will take responsible, and they will pay whatever medical fee. Of course, I didn't tell them no need, because my mother, a government officer, right? I just want to see what they say. So. I asked, why did you behave in such a way? Why you walk away when my mother fall down? And when my father come and look for you, you were so rude to him. So she said that she feel very bad when she saw my mother fall down. And she had to walk away because she want to walk she want to pull the dog away.
Oh, okay.
Well, it makes sense also.
Yeah, and then
as for my father, he said because my father was so emotional, she was afraid that if she get down, because two sisters are
too violent.
That's why she didn't bother about him, didn't come out from the house, didn't come down from the car.
So
after that explanation, I was okay lah, since they apologized and they say that they will pay for the medical fee.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same afternoon, she cooked some porridge and then she brought over to the house. Guess okay lah. But my mother is really very bad up, very painful.
Oh,
it's very difficult for her to get up from the bed. It's painful. I don't know how to explain it.
It's normal because for an elderly person, like your mom, I believe she's 70 plus.
80 or so.
Wow, 80. Wow, 80 is really old. So that one, you cannot avoid this whole injury because attacked by the dog, or not attacked, the playful dog, push her, then elderly, old, and fragile. It is definitely, any fall will be detrimental and serious to her health. So also partly karmic, no choice. Whatever meant to be will be. So if she can accept, then it's good. And tell her, just let things be. Things will happen in life because a lot of things that happened in the past, we don't understand. So there are causes and conditions behind, like Buddha say, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. It is meant to be, will be. So as we aim, we need to understand all this. And we need to avoid the condition for possibility of fall and accident. That's why my children also now they understand that they always remind my wife and me, go upstairs, go downstairs, hold on to the railing. Cross the train, don't be a hero, look for a crossing.
Yeah, correct. We do that for my parents as well.
Yeah, you have to, otherwise very dangerous.
Because
as you age, a lot of these things can happen. We are no longer what we are when we are younger. Take care. Then you can reflect on all this. Then use Dhamma to develop understanding. That's why Dhamma in daily life covers everything. Whatever happened is a good lesson in life. And everything that you learn in life is Dhamma. So when you understand, you accept the reality. All my mind goes the way of nature. Accept the reality and move on. Develop wholesomeness of mind state. Then do what you need to do. Like you text me to ask us to send blessing out. That will help. That's why we will do it afterwards. Send it to you. So
thank you, Radhya.
No problem. You have played your role, Sadhu. So you can now benefit from all this experience. And we also would like to thank you for your good sharing. It's not easy for most people to share what happened to their parents when they have problems or accident or whatever. So for you, it's very kind of you to have this understanding to share. And somehow it happened today.
It happened on Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday. Oh, it's not today. I thought it was today. Yeah, I just received.
No, few days already.
Oh, if it's today, means I was thinking your mind state is really good. now I understand. It's a few days ago. otherwise, no different.
If today not so free lah, rather dear.
Not only not
still
so
in the hospital.
Free, you can still like that today. I mean, you have the understanding already. Your Dhamma very good. Because normally because of confusion or excitement, you have to face your father, your brother, your elder brother, your neighbor. So it's not easy for a mundane mind to deal with all this. Most people would have been emotional and affected. So you also learn.
But lucky they are not persistent. Like my father didn't say, no, you must do police station. You don't go, do, listen to me.
You have your good karma, because last time when you were parent, you never do this to your children. So that's why parents will not do to you. And also your parents are basically good people. Eh? So they are very blessed.
Yeah,
very blessed. So don't have to worry. Yeah? Things is just the way it is. It will take care of itself. Mm. So now you have the privilege to nominate the next one to share.
Who is around, let's see.
You show the overall. Vinachina will show the overall. We still have quite a number.
Paulian,
you are the lucky one. Paulian, Lai. Paulian. What happened to Chiu Paulian? Can you help her to unmute? Chiu Paulian? Unmute.
Oh, hello.
Unmute already. You don't have to unmute anymore. You want to show your face? Press on the video. Show your face. Press on the video.
Good afternoon, dear Mrs. Steele and all Kayanamitas.
Sadhu.
Hi. I have been to Brother Chong's place for a few weeks, few months. I still got stuck with my office, the relationship with my boss. Still a lot of resentment. So what happened that I shared that day was I aware, you know, early in the morning, you know, my boss threw me a sentence that I don't like, and then the whole day and many times I was stuck. I just realized that I was suffering. They share with me a lot, like because no sati that I am Hitler.
More important is your understanding. If you have the understanding, you can come out of it. Your initial wisdom is very important. So you forgot about all the things that you learned. He is just the way he is. The world is the world. You know how to apply that, you are free. Then you only act with wisdom, understand, resolve things amicably. Don't take it personal. Work on it. You just do your duty. That's it. Can follow?
Yeah, brother. Because of my situations now, my ability that, you know, so when things happen, it's actually I clang kabu and stir in.
No wonder that brother Chong say you are without sati and heedless. Now you suddenly lost.
Yes. So two things I tell myself now, two things other than the meditation that I can do. The other thing is like, you know, the unwholesome, when I'm not happy, is the unwholesome thought, you know, come in, and then the efforts to do. I think that is for me to remind to do from the aspect of mundane mind.
Yeah, like just now my outline shot sharing. If it's a negative thought or wrong thought that torment you and make you miserable, then why do you arise it? Understand? You're supposed to arise a lot of effort to abandon it. Understand?
Yes, correct, brother. But it's already see how fast I can come back to this lah. Like that day, the third recent one, I was not so happy on the whole day, you know. And then So no, I just know that I'm not happy, you know, about you. Cannot go to further like, oh, wrong thought, then, you know, cannot shift.
Oh, do you know why or not? After surrender to your friend. Maybe I know it's okay. Mute your mic first. Otherwise, there's a discussion. Don't worry, Jinhao will do it.
She's already muted.
Oh, muted already. Okay, thank you. So I will explain. You see, like you say, the recently happened incident regarding your boss, you become very emotional, unhappy. You know that you are unhappy, but you can't do much. You didn't appear. Wait for Jinhao to adjust the video. The video went off missing. You had to pin it on. Ah, come back already. Okay, come back already.
Right.
But it's not moving.
Yeah.
It's like stuck. Okay, Kennedy. So we have to excuse you now. This is the second time she's doing it. Okay, coming back to Pauline's situation. You see, when you lack mindfulness and understanding, the daily practice is not there. You cannot do anything. And this will happen to those who are also equally like healers like Pauline's case, because most of the time what she learned is knowledge, theory, then she seldom put it into practice, cultivation, the reflection, contemplation, the first and second turning wisdom, not developed, you cannot stabilize it. So when you cannot stabilize it, when things happen, the first noble truth reality, like the Buddha said, when you are with people whom you don't like her boss, and when she says something that hurts her, means what? She cannot have the initial wisdom to prompt her, Sankara Anicchang, Sankara Dukkang. What is the meaning? Sankara is mental thinking, mental activity, mental stirring, and reaction of mind. So Sankara is Anicchang, means it come and go, no meaning. Then if you attach and cling and give meaning, you suffer. That's a sankara dukkang. You have to mute here. No more, I think. Just now, somebody accidentally on the mic. So if you accidentally on your mic, it's okay now. Then you have to mute it. So now it's okay again. So I continue to explain. So for Pauline's case is because the initial wisdom is not there. She has not developed it, and what she learned is mainly theoretical Dhamma. She seldom reflect, contemplate, and go deep into it. And because of that, the initial wisdom cannot come out and prompt her at the moment of unhappiness. And like she said, she knows she's unhappy. And she know this is suffering, is because that thought, that no, is after it happened, understand? But if you are mindful and sensitive, it's completely different. It is not like that. At that moment when you hear it, then the mind wants to react and become emotional. Your sensitivity of mindfulness and understanding simultaneously come out. Means you feel it. Then the Yoniso Manasikara initial wisdom prompt you, Sankara Anicchang, Sankara Dukkang. Then straight away subside. But if you lack mindfulness, it happened already, you are not sensitive, then you still don't know what is going on. Then that thing grip you, hold you. That's why it's coming, means you have to suffer. you have not suffered enough. So it may affect you for half a day or longer. Then you have to ask yourself a simple question. It's only a thought, a wrong thought. Through security, you attach, cling, grasp, give meaning, and it torments you. What are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So if you know that this is wrong thought, you're supposed to apply the Dhamma, the four right effort, the first right effort to abandon it. So what must you do? Silence your mind, relax, maintain awareness, then find out. Then when it ceases, you realize you don't give it meaning, you don't think about it, then it ceases to be. So you come to know this negative emotion, this wrong thought, this dependent originating condition arising. Due to your wrong view, you attach, cling, and give meaning. That's how it torments you. Then you ask yourself, your life, is that what you want? You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or unhappy is entirely your choice. So choose wisely. Choose to be happy. Then accept your boss for what he is. He is the way he is. He also has pressure. He also under harassment or maybe emotion. He has something that he needs to resolve. He can't resolve. So you have to understand the situation. Then accept him for what he is. Then you just do your best. If you can't handle it, you have to talk to him in a very nice way. You say, I am just really very sorry for what happened. Maybe at that time when you scolded me, I become emotional. That's how it affected me. And when I'm emotional, I can't work. I can't really get things done. But now, after reflecting over it, understanding it, the issue is to get whatever problem resolved. That's it, and move on. So we no need to like get emotional over what happened. Work is just work. So we resolve it. Then you ask your boss, I intend to do it this way. Is it okay to you? If not, then ask him to give you suggestion or support. Then you can resolve it amicably. If it's just a misunderstanding, you need to ask for forgiveness, apologize. Then it will tone it down. Then your Noble Eightfold Path understanding can help you to resolve all this amicably so that your relationship with your boss can be mended and become better. So through doing this, you can resolve all this amicably. Then you see the beauty in the teaching, the Dhamma. That's why daily mindfulness is very important. Sensitivity of mind and the initial wisdom. Without that, you cannot handle life situation. When you encounter a life situation, especially one of the Noble Eightfold, first Noble Truth, reality, chances is you cannot handle and it will afflict you, condition you into what you experience. So hopefully this will explain what you need to understand. You must listen to this again, then you will learn. Okay, well, yeah? Now we
I understand.
Good. So develop that.
Brother, yes. I want to know, I mean, I ask myself, why I got so much resentment?
That is a very easy question. You don't have the answer.
No. No.
Your anger is not aware. Your anger is not aware. Your resentment. Why do you don't like your boss?
No, brother, too. Other than work, I think I look back my life.
Yes.
I'm a person who is full of resentment.
Yeah, because you have that habitual tendency. Understand? And the habitual tendency is a wrong view. Means you cannot accept him for what he is, or anybody for that matter, for what he is, he or she is. You have not reflected deep enough into what the Buddha taught. People are just the way they are. The world is the world, conditioned like that, things be like that. Why can't you have that ability to accept first? No need to have resentment, no need to react. Then when you accept, then your mind does not stir, that emotional resentment is not there, and then you are at peace. Then you can act, understand or not? You act with clarity of mind. You cannot act while getting angry, understand or not? We are dead. It's a negative mind state, and evil root make you evil. How can an evil person act? You will act according to your resentment and your anger. And that is not acting at all. That is no different from your mental conditioning, your rubbish in your brain. Understand? So acting according to wisdom, understanding, is real action. Okay?
Yeah, Brother, I will listen again a few times.
Because you have not gone into the Dhamma. The initial wisdom not developed. That's why you cannot stabilize it. Then it cannot come out and prompt you. Then you are caught in suffering. You go to the outline short note of Manyuan again. That's how I share one. You are caught. So the gross defilement, when they arrive, you're still not aware. But after that, only the thought tell you. That's why you become entangled. So only the gross anger, resentment, where they persistently stay with you, then you start to feel that, I know I am not peaceful, I know I am not happy, I know I got this resentment against my boss, but I cannot do anything. That is what heedlessness is all about. So Dhamma is to be understood. Okay? So listen to it again. Develop your understanding and cultivate. So first and second turning, very important to develop the initial wisdom. Okay?
Thank you, Matthew.
Yes, salute to you. So we will keep your special privilege to nominate somebody in the next class. So we will end, because yes.
Okay, let the ball roll.
Good. Then I promise Manya to do the sharing of merits.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us rejoice. Sadhu. For the good sharing and all those things. And let us recall to mind all of the good Dhamma and sharing that we had today. And may this also be shared with all beings. Starting with Manya's mother, may it arise the causes and condition for Manya's mother to recover to good health and good mind state so that she can gain back her good life soon as possible. And may the blessing of the Triple Gem to be with her family, Manyuan, the brothers, this is no more sister is Manya, the mother and the father. And may the family to develop amicable understanding to work towards peace and understanding. Okay, for saying Sadhu, yes.
Actually, I really think that all these sharing are very good, and then this sister Manyuan is so dedicated and hardworking to write the outline short notes almost every Sunday.
In fact,
all the short notes are very good. And,
they're
very good, very helpful. In fact, it is always keep reminding me, you know, to stay the course in the right direction.
Never
lose sight of the Dhamma.
Sadhu.
So it is like it will not let you go, you know. Keep reminding you.
Correct.
To keep on the safe and right direction.
Yes.
You know?
Keep you on the right path.
Tremendous. tremendous help to me.
Yeah, yeah.
To say yes.
Yes.
Even when you read through the short notes today.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah.
It reminds me again, you know.
Yeah, and there's a lot of joy, huh?
Yes,
yeah.
A lot of joy. So
yeah, it keep you.
It
keep you on the right path, because these are important Dhamma pointers that point towards practice and cultivation. If you have this, you become very beautiful. Your cultivation become very smooth. Very important.
And all the sharing by Sister Polian.
So
she should not give up, you know. To cultivate.
Correct. Yes.
Just be patient and keep trying. You know.
Yes.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
She will realize one day she's able to do it.
Correct.
You know?
Yes.
Because now the mundane mind say, "Oh, I can't do it."
But
it's not true. When she keep listening and trying her best and do it, one day she will realize she can achieve it.
Because what she is going through, I just explained this part, is the real life Dhamma is not the same as knowledge.
Yes, correct.
So real life Dhamma is when you understand the teaching, then you put it into practice, then it surface and it can help you understand life. That is real life Dhamma, means Dhamma in daily life. Otherwise, it's Dhamma knowledge in the memory, in the brain.
Right.
So Dhamma knowledge is theoretical Dhamma, not much use. Right. It can't help you in time of situation, like what she go through. So all these are what they call ineffective way of cultivation. When you cultivate just the Dhamma knowledge, you think you know, but you cannot apply, because when real life situation arise, you cannot change, you cannot act, you cannot become different. So it's like you have not really learned. So this is a very important understanding for the initial cultivator, for those that are still caught in thought-based or knowledge-based cultivation. If you really have gone into the cultivation, you become different. But most Kaya Mitra has gone into the cultivation. For Polian's case, it's because she's a bit like, she take it too easy, she playful, like Boyao Bokin, understand? So she has to change, she has to be more resolute, means more serious about the cultivation. Otherwise, also partly karmic, the obstruction hasn't cleared. She got a lot of karmic obstruction in the early days. She can't even go to the spiritual way place until she cleared herself. But now is the cultivation of the Dhamma. Because she, in the past life, offended the Triple Gem very severe. That one must really sincerely ask for forgiveness again. Otherwise, that karmic obstruction there, she cannot break free. She cannot break free, then she find it very difficult to assimilate the teaching, to learn the teaching. So, Polian, this is for you. Okay. Yeah, Po Cheng, you can continue. Yes.
Yes, Brother
Teo,
what you say is very true. Yeah. After the knowledge, you really have to cultivate and develop the sati to help you to, you know, push you ahead. Otherwise, the knowledge is of no use. You can have a lot of knowledge.
Sadhu,
but when times come, without
sati, you cannot.
Nothing come out, you know?
Yeah, nothing come out. The initial wisdom also cannot come out.
You, you know?
Cannot from you.
Yeah, sadhu. You cannot stop the defilement.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, all this, you need the sati to help
you.
You are very sensitive.
Yeah, you are sensitive.
You can feel it, you know it, you know what is coming, you know?
Yes.
You understand it, you know?
Yeah.
And then all the Dhamma will,
surface. Then you know how to apply it, then you overcome it.
Yes. You can overcome all the obstacles.
Yeah, no problem.
Yes. Dhamma understanding that goes by itself, you know?
Sadhu.
That is so much joy, you know?
Yeah. Correct.
That stage, you know, so much joy and so much fun, you know,
yeah.
Looking at your own defilements, you can laugh at your own defilement then, you know.
Yes, then after that you have a lot of contentment,
gratitude,
like Man Yuan go through.
Acceptance
Then she appreciate the Dhamma
yes.
family. Yeah, she appreciates
yeah.
how she learned together and all those
yes.
things. Mm. Very
yeah,
good.
So now I also appreciate other people learning and
yeah.
the difficulties Sadhu, they
yes.
went through, you know.
Yeah.
So what I want to say is never give up because
yeah,
you
Sadhu.
Never know you are just at the door
yeah.
the Dhamma door opening for
correct.
You, you know.
Yes.
You are just at the door but you just haven't crossed it only that
yeah,
door,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. You haven't really opened that knob and walk
yes.
in.
Walk in and then
yeah.
you just have to walk in and then
yeah.
you'll see the everything, the clarity.
Yeah, the beautiful Dhamma inside, like Shen Xiu, she was trapped at the doorway of enlightenment. She actually has the initial Theravada Dhamma, but she don't know how to realize that true mind. That's why she's still caught in the duality of the mundane mind, where he makes the mistake of thinking that the mundane mind is the true mind. That's why she's at the gateway of enlightenment, and yet he couldn't penetrate and walk in. It's like cannot see means cannot see. The time is not right, the condition is not right. So only after Huining, came along, then saw, then put up the other poem to counter Shen Xiu. And when the fifth patriarch called in Shen Xiu and tell him that after hearing his advice and Huining's poem, he should be able to come out with the correct understanding, then only the fifth patriarch will give him the patriarchship. But he can't because he was in a state of shock and he couldn't really develop the understanding. Only much later, after Huining left with the bow and the rope, the initial, then only I think many years later, only Shen Xiu developed the understanding on his own. So all these are very beautiful. So
sadhu,
thank you.
Sadhu,
yeah, sadhu,
sadhu,
sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
Pocheng,
yeah. Yes. So we rejoice. Yeah, you want to say something?
Thank you for all your teaching. I rejoice.
Yeah, sadhu. My nature rejoice too.
I'd like to wish all Kayamitas strive on with heedfulness and
sadhu.
Along the path of Dhamma.
Sadhu.
Sadhu. As soon as possible.
Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Thank you. So let us rejoice one more time, then we end. Sadhu.
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 Sadhu. Sadhu.